Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. This is Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all the titles in Greenspan Media Group. What's going on, Trish? Trish McCrone's with me once more.
Well,
how are you doing, beautiful?
Let me tell you that can say this about you, mm-hmm. that since last show, you are 1 year older and 7 pounds lighter because of the fact that I shaved 7 pounds off of your head.
Yep,
you have a lot
Roberts.
Of hair.
Trish shaved my head in public. And we help raise money for the St. Baldrick's Foundation to combat childhood cancer.
Yes, so it was an incredible cause, and I was very proud
nervous.
Of you because I was very nervous. Well, I was fine. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. And all of a
you
sudden—
You were fine, but you're also nervous.
All of a sudden, you tell me that you were like, you're like, oh, like you were a little nervous, right?
I
Which
was
understandably,
a lot
you were
nervous.
Very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But when you told me that, and then I had everybody around me saying, well, don't do this, and make sure you do it like this, and don't clip his ear, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, they're calling our name in 30 seconds. I've just found out that you're nervous, and everyone's barking orders at me, which they could have
I
told me a week ago.
I wasn't nervous about the process of shaving it. I was nervous about the outcome of being shaved.
Yes,
that,
but
there's
it was
a difference
still you were nervous.
I wasn't nervous about your performance.
But
until,
I was like,
of course, until you started dragging clippers across the side of my head and they were like jittery and I'm like oh,
no
I
did
the best
I got
move.
I got nervous because yeah. of the fact that it was like everybody it was nerve-wracking like literally I was completely altering your appearance
yeah that is true you
and,
have altered
you know,
my
and,
appearance
and I didn't think that it was I didn't think it would be something I thought it was gonna be fun you know what I mean like I'm like fun woohoo but then when I really got in there and all of a sudden I started to see bald head I was like holy crud. Mm-hmm. Like, I am literally, you know, you could really hate me for this if it turns out wrong, you know? And so
how could it turn out wrong? I mean, other than anything you would have done that would have been wrong would have been a mistake. I mean, I asked you to do something that is going to alter my appearance for the worse. For a period of time, I asked you to do it. I was honored.
I was honored that you asked me to do it.
I wanted you to do it.
That
was the only condition of me doing this was that I could have you do it. Otherwise, I don't think I would have done it.
So, but I did get into a little bit of trouble because I was not holding the clippers as tight because I'm like, if I leave you just a little bit, you're still drastically changing from what you had because you have a gorgeous had a gorgeous set of hair. I mean, you really do. You have gorgeous hair, and so I was trying to leave it where maybe I would leave about a half of an inch.
Yeah, I know you were trying to do that, but I also knew that once the and I wish I could remember her name. The woman.
Yeah,
who
she
works
was
the,
just like you have
salon.
To go. You have to go shorter, and
yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to go shorter. And she goes, you have to go shorter. And the music is blaring. There's cameras. There's all these people
yeah.
around, and I'm going to her. I don't want to go shorter. Like we're. arguing. This woman and I arguing. So finally, she gave the clippers. And when it came time to do the big section of your head in front, I said, give them back. I'm doing
yeah,
it.
I
want to do
when,
the main
That's when
one.
I knew that we were all in when you came yeah. over the middle and the hair just fell out. And I yeah. was like, there's no turning back
yeah.
now. And I'll remember this about being aware that you were affected by it. And I'll also remember the singing of Tony Davich in the band Phoenix, the classic rock
yes,
band.
Yes.
If you watch the video, it's like a soundtrack. They're playing The Stroke by Billy Squire. And there's a couple couple of Journey songs in there, ZZ
yes.
Top, and I'm like, yeah.
I gave, but around the back where it was, I let her do that. I did like some of the broader strokes, but when it came time to finessing, I didn't want you to have like a hole somewhere. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
it was like, I was going to let the professional, because you are going to be living with this.
Yeah, and it is very apparent that you're bald or close to it everywhere you go. And I've been wearing a hat. I'm not wearing it now.
I got you a nice hat.
You got me a nice hat. I wore that the other night. I've been toggling and alternating three or so. But I was looking at a story that I wrote this week about being out at Richard Petty driving experience. And there's some photos of me driving around the track, and on the inside I'm talking to the guy who's my driving instructor, and I look at my head and I'm like, I kind of missed that hair there. So
you did. I mean, I know we're like, you're like Samson. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, he's not gonna be able to speak on the radio. He's not gonna be able to write. All of a sudden he's gonna get writer's block. All his power was in his hair.
Well, there are a lot of people who think that I had that condition before I had
and
my
thought
haircut.
That and I thought your mother, because you know your mother was my worried mom, about it. I thought your mother would not forgive me. I don't want Mama
no,
Cats mad at me.
She knew it was all on
okay.
me. She said before the thing, she said, I hope this cures cancer.
Exactly.
If you're doing this, not just
tell Mama
money.
Cats I'm not responsible.
I don't know if she's seen the video. Anyway, speaking of demarcations and physical appearance,
Exactly.
Our guest coming up momentarily is the president and CEO of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts, celebrating its year anniversary on Sunday, the fortress of all cool things in Las Vegas. We're looking forward to that. But first, there's Josh Bell with movies, so stick around. I know we will.
Didn't I say he would come?
You dare escort that oaf in here and allow him to climb on the hallowed throne?
And why not? He is the wizard.
The wizard, or so he says. Did it not occur to you that he might be an imposter?
That's Rachel Weisz and Mila Kunis as the witches Evanora and Theodora in Oz the Great and Powerful, Disney's new origin story for the Wizard of Oz. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. As Oz himself, star James Franco is the film's weakest link, but Kunis, Weisz, and Michelle Williams pick up the slack as the movie's three witches. Director Sam Raimi manages to capture some of the gee-whiz excitement of old Hollywood epics, and he fills the movie with entertaining, creative touches even when the plot ends up being sort of a drag. Oz the Great and Powerful may not add much of note to the overall Oz mythology, but it's still a lot of fun to watch. I give Oz the Great and Powerful 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release is the drama Emperor, which focuses on the immediate aftermath of World War II in Japan, as an American general, played by Matthew Fox, is tasked by General Douglas MacArthur, played by Tommy Lee Jones, with determining the wartime culpability of the Japanese Emperor Hirohito.
Now, his office is in the palace. I've reached out to him through every official channel. I know your order was not to use weapons against the palace.
My order is not to use weapons, nor force of any kind. There will be a time when the emperor will have to come to me, and he will come to me.
Handsomely shot, but narratively stagnant, with platitude-filled dialogue and mostly listless performances, Emperor ends up adding little to the crowded canon of World War II cinema. I give Emperor 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the president and CEO of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. It's the arts fortress of Las Vegas, and it's celebrating its year anniversary on Sunday. The place is busy and beautiful and full of fulfilling entertainment. Here to talk about the year past and the future of the Smith Center is my favorite Eminem, Myron Martin.
Yay! Hey. Do you know, we actually, very funny, is that Catherine Hickland, hypnotist and actress from One Life to Live and everything, we, at her birthday party, we played a game and we had teams, and it was, you all go into separate rooms and you have to write as many MMs as you know that people would know.
Oh, funny.
And Kat's and I were on the same team, and with names, Alicia Jacobs, M&M. And what did we put down? Myron Martin.
Yay. Myron Martin and 49er receiver Mario Manningham.
Yes, you were one. We like kicked major butt.
Marilyn
won,
Manson.
But you were one of,
so but you were in
the list. I was ahead of Marilyn Manson?
Yes.
It was all
how
a
cool
hot
is that?
Yeah.
So we got Light Up Pussy Willows for because yeah. of, thank mm-hmm. you for adding your name to that.
Wow.
So.
You helped our Pussy Willow take.
Well, you were so
yeah,
welcome.
So thank you for being a famous Eminem.
But what is this? Katz, he starts talking about the Smith Center and the arts, and his whole accent changed. Didn't you notice that?
I know.
Yeah,
well, what's
a little
that?
Bit. He gets all hoity-toity.
I know.
Us.
What's
yeah.
up with him?
I was channeling one of the artists who have been there. I'm not sure which one.
Me either. Me either. I think he's dead. Oh,
well, in my hands he is.
I mean, I have to say, the last year, talk about what a difference a year makes. I mean, it has just an outstanding lineup of shows and performances. And I mean, could you have, in your wildest dreams, have imagined what a success the Smith Center could
no,
have
no.
turned out to be?
I mean, we had big plans and big dreams, but the reality is so much better than the dreams were. I mean, to think that we've been open a little less than a year, and we've already had 487 performances.
Wow.
I mean, that's more than one a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you look back, I mean, everything from the Pink Floyd experience to last night was the first performance ever by the New York City Ballet in Nevada.
It's incredible.
Something for everybody.
Yeah. You couldn't be happier, especially, I know, with the Broadway series.
I was
going
to say,
let's talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the Broadway series is the one thing that I am seem to rush to the Smith Center to see, because I'm a huge, as we talked about in the past. Yeah. I mean, Wicked, you were sold out how many nights? I mean, it was ridiculous.
48 performances, every show sold out.
Gosh.
The same was true
last week.
They
can't say that on Broadway, I know.
Yeah. West Side Story last week was completely sold out. Anything Goes.
Loved Anything Goes.
Yeah. And you know, the great thing about the Smith Center's Broadway series is that we opened the doors with 11,000 subscribers. 11,000 people saying, I want to buy a ticket for every single Broadway show that you have this year. And now they're all renewing, and they are all renewing.
I'm sure they are.
Which means that 11,000 out of a total of 18,000 available tickets are sold before we ever go on sale to the public. So the message here is, if you want to come see one or two shows and you're not a subscriber, look for that date when we go on sale to the public. Put it on your calendar and buy that morning to ensure that you actually get seats.
What is the percentage of renewals from the subscribers from a year?
Well, we
year?
Just started a week ago, and already something more than 60% have already renewed in the first week.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Very encouraging.
Very, very encouraging. I mean, look, once they heard that next year is going to be a big season.
Book of Mormon.
10 big shows, including the Book of Mormon, and maybe especially the Book of Mormon.
Right.
It's the hottest ticket on Broadway. You can't get a seat for the Book of Mormon on Broadway, but you will be able to buy a ticket and see it right here in Las Vegas.
Let's talk a little bit. I know that the content of the show is something you're not going to speak to as the president of the Smith Center. We've had this conversation. But just the impact of that particular show because of its popularity, what does it mean? Is it beyond even what a Wicked would have brought in last year? Does it mean more to the center than even that type of title?
You know, I'm not sure that anything will ever mean more to us than Wicked did. And because, you know, Wicked took a little bit of a gamble with the Smith Center. We were 2 years from opening when we did our agreement with them. They really had to think long and hard about, all right, is this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was because of Wicked's great success, you know, 48 sold-out performances, that the entire Broadway community is now saying, I want my show to go to Las Vegas. I want my show to go to Las Vegas. And now Las Vegas is at the top of the list when every big Broadway show goes out on tour. So thank you to our friends David Stone and the whole team at Wicked. You know, Book of Mormon is our second chapter. It is the hottest show on Broadway right now. Really difficult to get. And John, as you know, there were rumors that there were hotel properties that were also after this show. And we were thrilled to get it for a number of reasons, mostly because, you know, the Smith Center is for people who live here. And we represent, you know, a fair ticket price and a beautiful facility. And we wanted to bring it for our friends and family who have been asking me for 2 years, are you going to bring the Book of Mormon to Las Vegas? So we wanted to make good on that, and I couldn't be happier that it's coming.
I know you're thrilled with the lineup. War Horse involved Porgy and Bess.
Wow.
Like, let's go through some of the highlight ones. We've got the Wizard of Oz, the current incarnation of Wizard of Oz coming to Las Vegas.
Yeah, the brand new Wizard of Oz. So this is you've never seen this production. War Horse, you know, there's never been a straight play sit down at a hotel casino. There's never been a play like War Horse really sit down anywhere other than the university productions, which they do a really good job of. So to get War Horse and put it on a Broadway subscription series, we will sell it out and people will be moved by this piece. I mean, it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
We just had Joey, the horse from War Horse, here for a little event a couple of weeks ago.
I was at this event.
She
should have seen this thing.
The star came
to visit. We knew it was, we kind of understood that there was going to be a piece of the show brought out. It was in Cabaret Jazz, and that the horse is going to be depicted. And it's inhabited by two performers, essentially. And you understand this, and they bring Joey out, and this horse is so realistic in terms of size and movement and just its entire presence that I was standing near it, and it moved its head toward me, and I got afraid. I thought it was going to bite me or hit me.
Gosh.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. It's an incredible piece of staging. And just that show alone, people came out, and I think coming in, people were kind of like in discussing Book of Mormon and everything, but you effectively said, you know, everybody was saying, we have to see this show to see that on stage, because it was really incredible.
You won't forget it. You notice that there are three guys who make up the horse, but within seconds the guys go away and all you see is the horse. mm-hmm. and you start to fall in love with this horse.
Wow.
There are emotional moments that this three guys in a horse costume create that are just unbelievable. So you're right. That was a great night. It's something different for Las Vegas. But there are 10 shows on the season. You said Wizard of Oz. My mind's blank, of course.
Porgy and Bess.
The Gershwin's Porgy and Bess.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Award winning, extraordinary show. It's coming. You're going to help me because I don't have the list in front of me. But
when it comes to the shows that are coming in, how do you choose what show? I mean, what is the process of deciding what show? Because you only do have a limited amount of time, and you have to, because they are coming in, they're not going to be doing one-nighters, obviously.
Right.
Everyone's going to be doing at least a week.
Right.
And plus, you want to obviously build the hype, and you, as you said, Wicked was 2 years out that you made that deal. How do you decide what show to bring in?
Well, you know, in the early days, it was us going out to the producers saying, hey, we're opening this little place in Las Vegas. We sure would like to bring your show. And, you know, in the early days, not everyone gave us much attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I talked about Wicked, but the same is true. I mean, Wicked did something special for us, but so did the Cleveland Orchestra and the Israel Philharmonic.
As from being someone from Cleveland, okay, once in every show.
Well, I'm glad you got that out of your system.
With not guest conductor LeBron James.
Although I know we're not talking about LeBron James, but I just tweeted the other day how I've become such a fan of his, and I was not a fan when he left Cleveland at all.
You're not the only one at this table who's not a fan of his.
I used to love you with all my heart.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Right now, he's the hottest athlete going.
Okay,
right
now. We're talking about the Smith Center.
He used to play in Cleveland, didn't he?
He used to play. Yeah. He used to play for the Cadets.
Thanks for coming on the show, Myron. We will enjoy the Smith Center.
Well, we'll go to Miami.
LeBron.
Sometime.
The musical coming in 2015.
No, but I mean, because I would think now after that year that you're having so many shows that want to come in because of how do you decide, I'll do this one but not this one? And I would think that'd be a tough process.
It's a terribly tough process because we only have 365 days. We only have so many weeks of Broadway runs. And it starts with the feedback that we get from our patrons. We talk to people every day. And we listen to them when they post things on Facebook or they tweet things saying, I sure would, Book of Mormon would come to Las Vegas. We follow that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there were some recurring themes this year of things that people really wanted, and we worked really hard to get them.
Wow.
You've got something coming back, Mamma Mia. It's returning to Las Vegas, the show that won't die, where you have the touring version of Mamma Mia coming back.
That was easy, though. So get this. People who live here, they think shows last forever, and it doesn't matter how long it runs. There's this huge group of people that say, oh, yeah, Mamma Mia, I was going to go see that. But it closed before I got there. And I said, it ran for like 3 or 4 years.
It ran
for 6
years.
What do you mean you were going to go see it? And, no, I really wanted to.
I am one of those people who have said, many times as I was invited to Mamma Mia, I'm like, oh, I'll go another time.
We'll go to the 8th anniversary.
It's always going to be there.
Never,
I'll go later.
Yes, I am one of those people who never went. Yes,
well,
I am.
So for all the people that went and loved it, and there's a lot of those, and for all of those that wanted to go and missed it, we've got 1 week of Mamma Mia, 8 performances, and think of all the cast members who still live here. Our friends, Tina Walsh and people like that.
It's funny
who
you
will come
that.
Out and see it.
Yeah, because I saw her this week at Cabaret Jazz at the Composer's Showcase. Now here's a person. She's been in Mamma Mia. She opened it. Been in Phantom, Las Vegas Spectacular. She's a Las Vegan, and now she's doing shows at Cabaret Jazz. You have managed to reach out and with the tentacles of this place and grab those types of members of the arts community and the entertainment community in Las Vegas from both venues.
Well, Keith Thompson is 100% responsible. For that. He's done such an amazing job of bringing people together in Las Vegas who perform in all the shows and giving them an opportunity to perform something they don't do 8 times a week on the stage of Cabaret Jazz at the Smith Center. And every month it's a different experience and there are funny songs and they're compelling things and they're great performers. If you've not come and seen one of Keith Thompson's
it's incredible
showcase,
yeah.
It's amazing.
First Wednesday of every month at 10:30. There's a plug for you, Keith. Last night, or this week, we saw, there were more than a dozen violinists who took part in Composer Showcase. I can't believe how many violinists were in this room.
Yeah, there's too much violins in the world.
There's place is prone to violence.
Everyone was thinking gratuitous
violence. But yeah, we had everyone, Jeff Lebo from Jersey Boys, Esteban, you know, yeah. Keith himself did songs. We talked about this for this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more about it for the show, and that is the nature of what's happening with cabaret jazz,
yeah.
And how it can continue to evolve. There are some areas where getting a regular local programming, regular local shows into that space is a priority of yours. But can you talk a little bit about how you want to approach that and who you might want to conceivably
sure.
bring in?
Yeah, I mean, so starting with what we're currently doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, every weekend there are national and internationally known artists from the worlds of cabaret and jazz who come in. This weekend and the first weekend of every month, we have Clint Holmes.
Love Clint.
Who's Friday, so Saturday night, Sunday matinee.
Yep, there yes. you go. There mm-hmm. you go. And he's got a new show again this month, kind of an unplugged thing that he's doing, which is going to be great
fun. I think, what do you call it, unplug-ish or something
yeah,
like that?
Exactly.
He called it very cute.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the way, our good friend Clint Holmes, just a couple of nights ago in New York, got this huge award for the best cabaret show in New York last year with
incredible.
Tons of amazing competition.
The Bistro Award, is that
the
called?
Bistro Award.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations to Clint.
Yeah.
Shut
yeah. Clint and Jeff Nyman put this show together, and they premiered it here at the Smith Center, took it to New York, did it at the Cafe Carlisle, and won the award, mm-hmm. and they should have. It was really, really good. So we're doing those kinds of things. Branford Marsalis has been in that room. On the jazz side, we've had Betty Buckley and, mm-hmm. and Linda Etter on the cabaret side. And so that's every weekend. You know, my dream is that we find kind of the right fits for other things like Composer Showcase that will come down once a month or once a week.
Yeah,
and kind of
well, Travis
own
Clower
that night.
Was in this
Travis
past
was
week
in last
to do
week.
It. Yeah, so
yeah, did a great show.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a great room. It's a fun little room. It's intimate. It's wonderful.
And it was designed for live music. Unlike, you know, I don't want to call out any particular places, but this was designed especially for live music. So one of my dreams is our good friend Jerry and all the guys with the group called Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Jerry Lopez.
They're amazing, and you know they do this thing every Monday night, and I don't want to steal them away from
oh,
some
yes,
other place.
Oh yes, you do.
but you know it'd be cool to have
yes.
locals coming to the Smith
sure.
Center on Monday night and hanging out with Santa Fe and hearing them in a room that was designed for music. So one day as we continue to expand what we're yeah. doing in there, you know, face it, this is a live music room designed for people who live in Las Vegas. So why wouldn't we want groups like that
sure.
to come down and perform?
Right. One show I saw that is sort of off the grid for a lot of people who would be typically going to cabaret jazz was Ubershell, the percussion band that was assembled 10 years ago by Blue Man Group members.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has, I've seen this group a couple times, this band at Double Down Saloon. And they rock it. I was wondering how they would play in there because they are super duper loud.
Yeah.
And it went great. And they loved it. And one of the comments that I heard from a person who follows them is that cabaret jazz should do more avant-garde. Mm. You should do more things like Ubershell and really get into that scene and bring in something like that every month. Is that, I don't know how you would make that, would bridge that gap from the acts you've talked about to the Uber shells of the world, but is that something you'd entertain on a regular basis?
Well, all right. So the room was designed again for live music,
right.
with the idea that, you know, half of the time it was devoted to jazz and the other half it was devoted mm-hmm. to cabaret.
This is neither.
It's neither. That doesn't mean it can't work. But the other criteria is, you know, is there an audience big enough to fill up 240 seats?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what cabaret jazz fits. And so as we look at things like this, it might be our favorite band in all the world, but if no one wants to buy a ticket and come see it.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Uh-huh. But I mean, I would also think it would be a great place because a lot of times we'll see places where people are just, they're literally just doing a showcase. They're doing a showcase for a show that they're trying to sell. Now, whether it's a hypnosis show or whether it's a magic show or whatever, like
mm-hmm.
they do a lot of those. And so they'll try to find a room in a hotel. Mm-hmm. Would that be something that you would be open to doing, even though it may, like something like magic that is so off the scale, kind of in what
like the
Cass
John
is
and,
saying?
The John and Trish juggling monkey act.
Exactly.
And we want to put this in a room.
Because we're good.
And we think we can have a stage at
yes.
Cabaret Jazz.
So, I mean, how
performers, a couple. Could we just come in
could
there?
Could we come and rent the room?
Rent the room and
do a showcase? Would that now,
are these live monkeys, or are we talking about a toy
monkey?
Oh, we
monkey only deal with live. Come on. Okay. Yes.
Mickey right. Dolenz and Peter Tork.
Yes, exactly.
if you can juggle those guys, you got something.
They juggle. That's our act.
Yes, there you go.
But,
I'm glad you stopped there with the band members. That's all I'll say.
One of them is no
Mike
longer
Nesmith
with us.
Can
Davy
come.
Jones, the late
yes.
Davy Jones.
Mike
but
Nesmith
the point is, that, yeah, I get what Dish is saying, is that if you wanted to bring in something that would kind of test drive something that maybe isn't music in nature. Could somebody lease that room and put it on?
Well, you know, the Troche Studio Theater was designed as a black box. Some of the guys from what used to be Chicago. And now the band's called something else, like the L.A. Transit Authority or something. they played in there.
And we've done sued also.
Yeah, right. Yeah, small theater pieces. We've done all kinds of things in that room. And it lends itself to kind of doing anything you want. We're open to anything. Here's the challenge. You know, Glenn Midas, who everybody in Las Vegas knows, who worked for many years at Mandalay Resort Group and before that at MGM, you know, great, great entertainment guy. He controls the calendars in all of these spaces. And what we find is, you know, you start with the big shows that you have to get on your calendar 2 years in advance, and then you start kind of getting closer to the date. And there aren't many available dates. Now that's part of our problem, that people come in and say, God, I really want to try out some new show next Tuesday. Well, sorry.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about genre and content as we close out here. If you had a top name, let's say you had a top name comic, you know, and you could fit that person in your schedule, whoever it might be, would you entertain that?
Oh, yeah.
In cab jazz?
Oh, in cab jazz?
Yeah, in
sure.
The cabaret jazz room. Yeah.
Sure. We'd love to do comedy in cabaret jazz. We're looking at a couple of comedy nights in Reynolds Hall in the 2,000 seater for those acts that really deserve 2,000 seats. And
so, Katz, put it on your calendar. He's been wanting to do a stand up.
Yes.
Hint, hint, hint.
The John Katzlamitas Ice Steel Lewis Black's material experience.
Oh, yeah. How much will those tickets cost?
And also Nevada Ballet. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. And I know that Wayne did one. Cats, all entertainers did the Nutcrackers.
Yes.
And that was a big thing as well. So you're doing so many incredible things there. And
well,
congratulations.
Our resident companies like that, the Ballet, the Las Vegas Philharmonic, they're upping their game because they now have this glorious building to perform in. And so it's helping them. But, you know, it's helping the community. George Harris, who owns Mundo Restaurant across the street from us, told me the other day that since the Smith Center opened, his business went up 10 times.
Uh-huh.
Not 10%, 10 times.
Wow.
And the same's true with Oscars and Triple George and all the downtown restaurants.
Well, it's the kind of a crowd that are going to spend money on a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
And are going to, you know, they're going out for an evening to get dressed up, to have a nice dinner. So it does help the entire area.
We need more of that around there, actually.
Exactly. We need more of that on the strip. People getting dressed up, by the way.
We need more of that scene down there to help support what people want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, after the showcase this week, everybody was, you know, again, kind of milling around. And we were like wondering,
where do we want to go?
Yeah, we had this big group and there was really, you know, Mundo is great, but it's in and of itself is not 10 times as about taxing their entire business. You know, we can't keep
they have kind of regular hours.
Yeah,
so
they aren't open at 2.
Right, that's right. That's right.
So we need an all-night place.
So listen, if you've been to shows, great, come back and see some more. If you if it's like Mamma Mia and you say, oh, I'm going to go down there eventually, well, we're not going anywhere, but we'd love to see you this year and come down and see some shows at the Smith Center.
If you can't see Mamma Mia after this run, you're never going to see Mamma Mia, right?
Ram
Mamma Mia down.
Don't look at me when
you
say that.
We're going to ram Mamma Mia down your throats. All right, Myron.
All right.
Thanks for coming down to Smith Center for the Performing
Dancing
Arts. Happy
Queen.
First anniversary.
Why don't you look at Cats when you say that?
I'm not dancing.
Thanks, Myron.
Bye.